Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I'm kind of back in the saddle, you know. Had a great couple of weeks, sunny at the state fairs, met all sorts of wonderful people in three states. My last two shows are a little bit about their opinions on the country, the economy, the so-called leadership of the country, and a host of other topics. So it was very insightful. And thousands of books and couple thousand new readers of the series, Threads West series. Book four is getting ready to come out, and it was terrific. But you know, it's great to be home. I'm not partial to roofs, I'm not partial to lights, and though I can be gregarious in a social setting, you know, I am not all that partial to people. I mean, people are great, but being here on the ranch with nobody around for miles is terrific too. So I've been running around getting hay done and all sorts of stuff that kind of went by the wayside. We had our first snow. Pretty amazing. But I digress. We have some serious topics to cover today. We're going to talk about ISIS. Forget all this ISIL crap, all the nonsense. You know, they can't even... They got to spin the name of our enemy. You know, how ludicrous is this? So ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, is a major problem. And you know, I'm not going to beat the dead horse that the mainstream media has been beating here, albeit tardily. I believe I brought this to your attention months ago. I linked the open borders to what is now what now all the mainstream media talking heads are saying. Oh my God, ISIS is in America and they're coming across the southern border and they're catching Pakistanis and Afghans and all sorts of people. Gee, really? What a big surprise. Let's see. Got a terrorist outfit. They want to destroy America. They want to inflict damage. They want to commit terror. And we got an open border. You think they're going to use it? I mean, it's almost pathetic. So, yes, ISIS is in the United States, and they're recruiting in the United States. You probably heard the story about that poor college kid in New Jersey who got shot by a lone wolf jihadist, and who had killed three other people, by the way, simply because they were Americans, and he just figures that, you know, that was his personal retribution for all the terrible things America's doing to the poor Muslims overseas. Well, you know, you'll have to excuse me if I just don't have a lot of compassion, but I just don't have a lot of compassion for this mess. I mean, these people are absolute fanatic lunatics. They don't operate in our universe. For Barack Obama to stand up and say, this type of behavior is not condoned in the 21st century, I mean, it makes you want to puke. Well, I don't know, Barry. It may not be condoned, but they're sure doing it, and you haven't done squat about it, even though you were warned more than a year ago. Too busy playing golf and raising money and doing your campaign nonsense and listening to Valerie Jarrett and Ben Rhodes whisper in your ear about what's politically correct. So maybe you can keep hold of the Senate this November and continue to wreak havoc on the United States. But again, I digress. What I'm going to talk about today with ISIS are some things you don't know. I mean, you flat haven't been told by the mainstream media. And I'm going to tie this together in a big picture for you. I'm going to make you think. Because there's something far more grave than just ISIS going on here. There is collusion. There is a state of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Let me draw some dots for you. So you have an administration, and we've talked about this on previous shows, go back in the archives. I've had a number of national guests on talking about the jihad, Muslim extremism. Go back and take a look at the interviews. Maybe my producers can get some links up for you. You have an administration that has a clear pattern of being sympathetic to Muslim interests, including to the Muslim Brotherhood. Our staunchest ally in the Middle East, other than Israel, is Egypt. So Egypt elected the Muslim Brotherhood. We supplied them with $1.5 billion in tanks and arms and all sorts of things. And then Egypt, rightly so, figured out that, hey, these guys aren't good. In fact, they spawned Hamas and Hezbollah. They are the original terrorist outfit. Yet we have Muslim Brotherhood advisors in the White House and in security agencies. I've also done shows on that with the names, the whole nine yards. Go back in the archives. They've stripped the word jihad, Islamic, extremism, Islamic extremism, radical Islam, out of all the training manuals in the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the CIA. They call Fort Hood still workplace violence. In the meantime, 39 or 40 servicemen can't get proper care or insurance because it has not been labeled a terrorist attack. Did you know that this week news reports started to come out, not through the mainstream media, of course, that victims of the Boston Marathon bombing cannot get some of their rehab, injuries, surgeries covered by insurance? You know why? Because the FBI, under Eric Holder, Barry's buddy, will not call that bombing a terrorist act. Now, you know enough about the Boston bombing to know damn well it's a terrorist act committed by terrorists. This poor kid who was murdered in New Jersey and three other Americans murdered by this one guy, who, by the way, has admitted the murders, has proudly stated that he's a jihadist. His name is Muhammad, whatever. And he killed these people, cold blood, not even knowing them, because they were Americans, and it was retribution to America for their perpetrations on the Muslim world. Yet, it is not called an act of terror. So we have an administration that has systematically wiped any reference to Islamic extremists from the very agencies that are born to protect us, that keeps a porous southern border, knowing full well terrorists are coming over it, that has done nothing about ISIS, though it's known for at least a year, and was begged by the military to take these people out before they got to their current strength, which, by the way, if you go back a number of shows, three or four, I believe, I told you that what would happen is that the numbers, the 10,000 number that they were using for the ISIS army, was way low. Guess what we find out this week in a Pentagon briefing? On the low, 20,000, and perhaps as high as 31,000. And recruitment has almost doubled. I mean, folks, water runs downhill and 2 plus 2 is 4. I'm not a Houdini. I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have a magic crystal ball. You know, I'm not related to Nostradamus. This is just common sense. And you can't tell me the government doesn't know it, and Barry doesn't know it, and his security team doesn't know it. They just lie to us. The pattern here is clear, crystal clear. The poor Army recruiters who got whacked, I believe it was Wisconsin, one of the Midwest states, several years ago, by Islamists who again admitted the act and why they committed the act, has never been called an act of terror. They're hell-bent on trying these people as common criminals. They don't take the time to interrogate them. Take a look at this guy they finally nabbed after 2 years of him sitting there and sipping lattes in the open in Libya. who is involved in the Benghazi deal. He's on a ship for 5 days, and then he's read his rights, given constitutional rights in the United States, lawyers up, shuts his mouth. How many Americans are going to die because we didn't get intelligence from this guy? The government doesn't care. Barack Obama, the White House, the Justice Department, his buddy Eric Holder, and the rest of the Islamic sympathizers, the PC crowd, don't care about your safety. They care about something entirely different. So why don't we call that just one huge dot, what I've been talking about for the last few minutes, shall we? Because I don't want to give you the same spiel that you get on the mainstream media from the talking heads. My job is to give you something you haven't heard, to bring you news you need to know and they won't tell you, to shine light on subjects that other people don't. We then have Barry stand up and give his great speech, his I'm going to get tough on ISIS speech. Okay, sure. Look, besides the fact that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, I think has the word Islamic in it, he stands up in front of a national audience and tells us it has nothing to do with Islam. Despite the fact that they now control land area the size of Belgium or larger, which is not a small country, and have set up a government, and have a 30,000-man army, which is equal to about three American divisions, they're not a state. You know, that's kind of like the American Revolution, the 13 colonies. After they won the war with Britain, everybody's saying, oh, nothing to those guys. They're not a state. Well, they are a state. They've established a state with a government, with an army, with command and control. And you know what? They're smart. I mean, these guys are really pretty good. They're not JVs, as Barry would have had us believe just this last January. That's what he called them, JVs. So Barry stands up in this speech. And you could tell by his body language he was uncomfortable. He didn't want to be doing it. He didn't want to be saying it. And, you know, anybody with two eyes and two ears, with any sense of perception, including the enemy, could sense it too. And he talked about a broad coalition. We come to find out that his broad coalition was really kind of centerpieced around Turkey. And the very next day, that would be just 2 days ago, Turkey said, we're not in. You can't even use our airfields. And then, of course, he's talked to Qatar. Now, Qatar is an evil little country whose politics, I might add, could be changed in about one day by the United States Navy, that funds all sorts of terrorist groups and acts as go-betweens to promote Islamic interests. You know, they were kind of the go-between in the negotiations between Iran and the United States. Boy, that worked out good, huh? $7 billion of frozen assets released, and they're still spinning centrifuges. Terrific. And they acted as the go-between, another little dot for you, when we traded a deserter, Sergeant Bergdahl, for five Taliban leaders, who I absolutely guarantee you have been in communication with, consorting with, and conspiring with ISIS from the comfy quarters of their huge palatial estates with no ankle bracelets in Qatar with full access to computers. I mean, come on. So at every step of the way, Barack Obama and his minions have aided and abetted the enemy. And he stands up there and gives us this half-hearted speech, concentrating on what he's not going to do, Never a good idea in warfare. We have the spectacle of the very next day, Kerry, who is just another limp one, you know, of Secretary of State Kerry saying, oh, it's not really a war, it's just a kind of a significant counterterrorism operation. Oh, okay, Mr. Kerry. And then you have the Pentagon trying to backtrack on that, saying, well, it is a war. Look, the bottom line is Barack Obama does not want to prosecute an action against ISIS. I've told you before, he wants them to win. He sympathizes with them. Everything he's doing right now is about politics, just like everything he does. He's concerned about the midterm elections. He doesn't want to bring a war resolution to the Congress because he doesn't want his Democratic buddies who have supported all the nonsense he has perpetrated, which has put us in this position to begin with, to have to take a vote, heaven forbid. And in between, like yesterday, he's doing a fundraiser in Maryland, you know, and I guess maybe going to the golf course afterwards. So he stands up and he gives us a speech. You know, besides the obvious, and that is he likened the operation he was doing to the quote-unquote very successful operations in Yemen and Somalia. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the operations of the United States in Yemen and Somalia, Yemen, by the way, I think we've had two airstrikes in a year, have been total dismal failures. They're hotbeds of all sorts of terrorist groups. There is really no government at all in Somalia, and the Yemenese government is so fragile that, you know, if it stubbed its toe, it would fall over in pieces. Both places are total wrecks, yet those are the places he's going to try and emulate. And you know, I think those are the places he's going to try and emulate. I don't think it was a mistake at all. I think this guy's been sending us a message since long before he was elected the first time. I've always maintained this. I think that the fact that his speech was lacking in some strategic, key strategic objectives, which have led no one to step up to help this alliance. I mean, even our staunchest ally, Great Britain, has refused to participate even in the air campaign, as has France, as has Germany. Turkey won't even let us use their airfields. That's because nobody believes Barack Obama. That's because the other world leaders know where this guy is going, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. It's a much bigger picture than Barack Obama being supposedly incompetent, detached, and all the nonsense you hear from the talking heads. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what outcome he wants out of this. And he has put the people in place in various agencies, the White House, etc., in positions of power in this government who want the same thing. They think with a like, progressive, twisted, far-left mind. And they're supported by just about every Democratic member of the House, and almost without exception, every Democratic senator. And you folks in Montana that are listening to this, how you could even think of voting for another Democrat up there is beyond me. You folks in Colorado who are even thinking about voting for Udall, the incumbent who has voted with Obama 96% of the time, you're worried about ISIS, you're worried about your job, you're worried about the economy, 140,000 new jobs this month, the lowest in many, many, many years. I forecast that too. You know, employment jumps with summer employment, particularly when you're counting part-time jobs, as the government is now doing, in spring and summer. This is not rocket science. You don't need a degree in economics from Harvard. So we have ISIS, and we have Alon Sharif, the Benghazi perpetrators, which, by the way, you know, huge revelation. We talked about this 9 months ago. I've done shows on it and interviews on it. And exactly what I told you is true. There were stand-down orders. There was another plan afoot. Ambassador Stevens was supposed to be kidnapped and traded for the blind sheik, or killed. Killed because of what he knew, or traded, and who knows, maybe killed in the process, to aid and abet the enemy once again. Now, I'm sure some of you are shaking your heads going, this, you know, Reed's gone wacko. Number one, I'm one of the most consistent folks you will ever listen to on the radio. What I'm telling you now is what I told you 3 years ago. I haven't deviated one inch, and everything that has happened has unfortunately borne out my prognostications. And I wish they hadn't. I wish I was dead wrong in every one of these. I really do. You have no idea. But I'm not. And I haven't been. And it's my job to bring you the truth and to make you think outside the box and outside the cushion of normalcy bias that people are used to. If you take all these things, if you take Barack Obama's speech in Cairo and his invitation to the Muslim Brotherhood, a known terrorist organization that has infiltrated all aspects of American government, by the way. If you take his obvious sympathies toward Islam, if you take the book that he himself wrote, Dreams of My Father, and take the quotes out of it, the most beautiful sound in the world, I'm paraphrasing, the most beautiful sound in the world is the call to prayers in the morning. If the political winds blow ill, I will side with the Muslims. This guy is what he is. He's told you what he is. He's shown you what he is. And he has placed in positions of power throughout the government people who share his ideology, which is far left and Muslim sympathizing. What you really have going on here, let's look at a really big picture. Step out of that normalcy bias, folks. Step out of the box. You have the far left in collusion with Islamic extremists. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. They have a common enemy. Their common enemy is you and I, Americans with American values, a free society, albeit limited, getting more limited by the day. A capitalistic economy, a secular bent to thinking. We are the infidels. And the far left, in its zeal to eradicate anything that even besmirches anything to do with Islam, to call terror what it is, shows its hand in the collusion with Islamic extremism. Now, in the end, should they win, and I don't think they will, should they win, who do you think is going to win between the two enemies that are left standing, who have shook hands in a tentative peace to take out the common enemy, you and me? And America, and perhaps the Western world, and Israel, for sure. I'll tell you, the Islamic extremists will win. The far left doesn't have a chance when the dust settles. But in their elitist attitude, they figure they can talk their way out of it, they can reason, they can rationalize, who knows what. So that's what's going on. It's a much, much bigger, much scarier picture than simply ISIS. You have a political ideology that has now bound itself by act and lack of act. For instance, this half-hearted attempt to contain ISIS that nobody will join in on. Allowing Iran to get the bomb. Beating up Israel. Sending money to Hamas. I mean, the list is endless. You have this far-left ideology teamed up with Islamic extremism. That's exactly what you have going right now. And it's a scary, dangerous thing. Particularly if people are unaware of it. In his speech, our dauntless president, he did mention five kind of key strategic things. Number one, he failed to define the global threat and a global strategy to defeat it. Why? Because he's allied with it. He failed to define a positive goal, i.e., the eradication of ISIS and all groups like them. You know, it's not just ISIS. You have Ansar al-Sharif. You have Al-Qaeda. You have Al-Qaeda in Africa. You have Boko Haram in Nigeria. Hamas in Gaza. Hezbollah. There are countless groups. This is a global mess. The arms of jihadists linked through the elbows of communists. I'm not trying to be melodramatic. This is really what's going on. Step back and think about it. All these things cannot be coincidences. There are no coincidences. He failed to explain how we're going to compel our so-called allies to do what's necessary to defeat radical Islam. He failed to explain really how hard and long and frustrating this war will be. Let me remind you, it took 46 years of Cold War, 46 years, to bring down the Soviet Union. And I think in many ways we have a more dangerous enemy in radical Islam than we did with the Soviets. And by the way, that's a whole nother problem. The Sino-Soviet, the Chinese-Russian alliance, which is strengthening. It's economic. It's military. There's a vast array of forces lining up against the Western world, America, and Israel. And they could not line up, folks. You simply could not have all these lines converge in the heaven without behind-the-scenes skullduggery and collusion. You simply couldn't have it. And you know, there's a great advantage that they have. I mean, on one hand, we have Barry, who signed all sorts of executive orders that in the event of national emergency, he can take, you know, the NDAA. Once again, I did two shows on that. Please go back. You need to know about that executive order. He can control all farm, food, transportation, fuel, you name it, with the stroke of a pen. All he needs is a paragraph. I'm not making this up. It's in the Federal Register. Read it. All he needs is a paragraph letter from the Department of Homeland Security, his own appointee, right, part of his shadow government, saying, we think it's going to happen. Not that something happens, just that they think something's going to happen. And Barry, baby, is like running the show. Lock, stock, and barrel. You think they really care about a major terrorist attack? How come you didn't hear about Russian bombers? Once again, I'm not making this up. Google it. Russian bombers making a dry run on a preemptive, practicing a preemptive nuclear strike on the United States just this past week over Canadian airspace. Did you know that the Russian government has changed, I forget what they call it in Russian, but basically they have a doctrine manual for their military. And just in the last 6 months, they've changed it to allow, under the doctrine, a preemptive strike. The Chinese have only God knows what. I don't think they need a doctrine. The Chinese know exactly what they're doing. It's a lot of bad stuff all at once. And yes, I think you and I will prevail. I'm just not so sure how ugly it's going to get between now and then. Particularly when you have this evil combination of far-left ideology teaming up with radical Islam. And then on the outskirts, you have Russia and China playing their games. All of them anti-American and anti-dollar. There's going to be a day of reckoning. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to be in the relatively near future. I don't know if you know this, another little tidbit concerning ISIS that has not been in the mainstream media at all, but there was a meeting of like the 50 top people of the various militia groups, including the Free Syrian Army, which now suddenly were purportedly giving arms to, that were meeting to discuss specifically anti-ISIS strategy. This is just this past week. And do you know that some mysterious way, they got blown up? Not kidding you. The northwest region of Idlib, Syria, and the name, the should we say the leaders of the groups, or the main group around which these satellite groups revolve, is called capital A, small a, capital S. The Arar al-Sham, and I probably mispronounced it, Brigade. The leader of the whole deal, Hassan Abaud, and 45 others, including senior members from other rebel alliance groups, were all killed. Command and control, folks. How come Barack Obama has not gone after the command and control of ISIS? Yet the anti-ISIS forces mysteriously vanish in an explosion this past week in a purportedly heavily guarded, completely secured, nobody in or out, secret, so-called, meeting. There are no coincidences. So the United States is going to have to rely on the Kurds, who, by the way, are fierce fighters. You give them the arms, they'll win. The Iraqi army, which Barry made sure was weakened to nothing by pulling troops out of Iraq and allowing Malachi to run amok with generals, dismissing all the good ones, the Sunnis, putting in his buddy Shiites, and who knows what other graft and corruption. I mean, this is a huge chess game. And we've been, we're like sitting on one side of the board, you and I. And we haven't even been, we never mind not moving our pieces. We haven't even been watching all the moves by our opponents. So, the bottom line of this show is to bring to your attention a lot of dots. And in my mind, you'll have to make up your own mind, but I want you to think about it. In my mind, it only leads you to one logical conclusion. And that is this unholy, dark, and evil alliance against you and I, against America, against Israel, against our values and our ethics. In the cases of many of us, our religions, our beliefs, our social and moral structure and fiber. And it's intentional, and it's brilliant. Pass this show on. People need to think about this. You may reach a different conclusion than I do, and you're more than welcome to. But I know in my world, when dots get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they get closer and closer and closer together, they form a line, and the line leads you to a conclusion. And the conclusion is without coincidence. The other thing you need to do, I have a lot of articles this week. They've been a little sparse the last few weeks because I've been traveling. But I want you to know that Barack Obama is going to do as little as possible. He's not going to carry through even on his limited promises, if you want to call them that. The same guy who told you to keep your policy. He's not going to follow through on his limited promises that he made in that speech. This guy really doesn't want ISIS stopped. Oh yeah, he wants to keep the Senate, so he'll talk a partial game and, you know, launch a few airstrikes with a wink and a nod to his buddies, the Islamists. But it's all big ruse. I hope you're reading those family safety columns that I've started 3-4 months ago. A lot of good information in them, a lot of good links. Once again, I don't recommend any of them in particular other than Northern Tool, whom I've used. But what you can do is get yourself safe and get your family safe. Keep your eyes and ears open. Be informed. And make sure as many neighbors as you can get are also informed. And please vote and get everybody else out to vote. That election, you know, is just 60 days away. Actually, it's less than that. It's about 50 days away. And it will make a difference. And we got a big hole to climb out of, folks, and we can do it. But we're all going to have to work together with our eyes wide open. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Glad to be back fully in the saddle with you, my audience. Thank you to all my many tens of thousands of listeners for a little patience over the last 2 weeks with shorter shows and not quite as many articles, but as you can tell, I'm in the process of making up for that. Until next Saturday, have a safe one.